First up, the Metropolitan King County Council voted this week to change how we vote in King County. Here's a hint. They want election years to be divisible by two. The ultimate decision is now in voters' hands. Joseph O'Sullivan covers state politics for Crosscut. That's crosscut.com. And he is here to explain what is going on. Hey, Joseph, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So let's get the basics here. What will voters actually be deciding this November?
Well, King County this month approved a proposed charter amendment that would move its county elections, a dozen races, from odd number years, like 2021, 2019, to even number years, 2020, 2024. And that is often when many more people turn out because there's races like president or governor on the ballot or U.S. senator or Congress members. And they're generally sort of a bigger deal affairs in elections.
And where did this idea come from to swap election years? Who's behind it?
So this proposal comes from the Northwest Progressive Institute, which is a left-leaning advocacy group based in Redmond. But the proposal, a broader, more sweeping proposal, was introduced this year at the legislature in Olympia to do this statewide and move all local elections to even number years, including referendum and ballot initiatives. So that proposal drew some criticism. And there's been some criticism for the King County proposal, too, that it might hurt Republican chances or conservative causes that sometimes do better in these low turnout elections. They say, well, moving all these races to an even number year might make it too many ballots, too many races, too many things for people to focus on where they can't really tune into local issues.
Yeah, like the assessor, races that just get potentially swamped when you're looking at governor and president.
Exactly, yeah. But advocates for making the change say more people should be, participating any way we can raise turnout and that people can handle that many, races on their ballot just fine.
What is the difference in turnout that we generally see between even and odd year elections in King County? Can you give us a sense of what that change would mean?
Yeah, so let me give you an example. There's actually a couple King County races that do take place in even years. For example, there was county executive race, Dow Constantine versus State Senator Joe Nguyen, and Constantine won. Now that's an off-year election, odd year, and about 573,000 people voted in that 2021 county race. And that's considered sort of the highest office, right, in county government. But if you go back to 2018, that was the last prosecuting attorney election. And so Dan Satterberg in that race had an opponent. And in 2018, 968,000 people voted in that county race. So nearly 400,000 more people voted in that county race in 2018, which wasn't even a big presidential election year. So you can see, 570,000 voters for one race, 970,000 voters for another race. Even though they're not the same race, you can just see that big disparity in turnout.
And of course, the conventional wisdom is that higher turnout means a more left-leaning electorate. Conservatives that you talk to are talking about electorate's attention span and whether they can focus on more complicated or more detailed local races. But ultimately, there is a concern, right, that odd election years, as you report, Joseph, have been some of the only times conservatives can score victories in Washington state, like with the 2019 $30 car tab initiative. Does that go away if these elections shift to align with state and local to the even years?
Certainly, there's thoughts about that at the state level with the state proposal that that did not move forward in Olympia, by the way, this year. But at the local level, I think there's some consternation about that. The two King County Council members that didn't approve moving forward with this, they're Republicans, Reagan Dunn and Pete von Reichbauer. And so, we spoke to Reagan Dunn for our story. He had a slew of concerns, And he said, it's good arguments for and against, but, that local issues might get swept aside, that maybe this could be an incumbent protection plan because maybe name recognition in these busier election seasons, maybe that helps someone even more that's already in office. On the other side, the advocates say, well, look, more people turn out, which often means a more varied demographic of voters, more communities of color. And everyone should have a voice in these county races.
I just came home to Washington State after living and reporting on politics in Los Angeles for the last seven years. And LA city elections shifted to align with state and local races, so shifted to even years after voters approved an initiative back in 2015 to do that in L.A. And since then, turnout for those local elections, like council districts, is up something like 400%. And Joseph, what's happened there is that a lot of progressives are unseating establishment Democratic candidates. I wonder if local Democrats in Washington state may be looking at that proposal for the statewide change and getting a little nervous when they see the results in other jurisdictions around the country that have tried this. What you see, especially in liberal cities, is a lot of intra-party fights, a lot of upending of the conventional power structures. I'm curious if those conversations are going on in Washington state and folks are taking a look at that and what it could really mean for the Democratic Party.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I don't know that I've heard chatter specifically about that, but I'll bring up two points. I mean, one reason is because we've sort of seen that already in Seattle politics and Democratic politics in Western Washington over the last few years. You've seen more progressive candidates challenge, establishment candidates, or just run for open seats. And so you've had more progressives in office in the state legislature, and especially coming from, you know, the Seattle area, and in county and local races as well. So that's already happening a little bit in the existing system. And then I think the other thing that, you know, Washington has done a lot of changes to its voting systems in recent years and has a longer history of sort of working to sort of do, you know, lots of things to improve voter turnout and voter conditions, you know, starting back with the expansion of mail voting many years ago. And in recent years, we've done same day voter registration in the state and worked on automatic voter registration and done a lot of other things to try and boost turnout in other ways. And so I think that there's also a sense of, I think that sometimes the question goes, well, how much more can you do that we've already done? And how much more should we do? And I think that comes up in that context.
Joseph O'Sullivan covers Washington state politics for Crosscut. And thank you so much for stopping by to explain what voters will be weighing in King County this November in terms of swapping elections to even numbered years. Appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.
So how did we end up with even and odd year elections to begin with? Why don't we already just vote everything all at once? Let's dive into that with Todd Donovan, a professor of political science at Western Washington University. Hi, Todd. What's the backstory here?
There was a movement in the progressive era roughly 100 years ago where reformers were pitching charter provisions that were essentially designed to try to depoliticize local politics and the administration of local governments. So moving elections to nonpartisan, having elections that were off year, having nonpartisan primaries in May or August or things like that, all of which, you know, they were pretty explicit that, you know, that there's not a Democratic or Republican way to run cities. It's supposedly this municipal corporation.
And the idea behind that is what? That when you strip away the national politics of things, folks are supposedly just looking at individual candidates and their qualifications for the job instead?
Yeah, I think you can look at it a couple of ways. I mean, there were whatever the intentions of these reformers were, I think it was in large part a reaction to high turnout partisan elections that mobilized a lot of working class, less affluent voters that at the time, you know, people were thinking maybe that's not who you want voting in elections. And I think if we were talking about things that way today, people might be a bit appalled.
Yeah, it sounds pretty elitist.
Yeah, but it also, you know, you have to put it in the context of 100 years ago, 120 years ago, when there was a lot of corruption in local elections involved with some of those partisan machines. I think 100 years later, we can say maybe those efforts to depoliticize the politics or depoliticize local government might have gone a bit too far. And the movement away from at-large elections really kind of parallels this reexamination of why did we intentionally schedule these to have low turnout electorates.
You know, today's electorate is getting more and more polarized. We look across the country at congressional districts for this, for example. Split ticket voting is really becoming a thing of the past. I mean, congressional districts are being drawn safer and safer. There's very far fewer competitive districts. I was just reading a 538 report that said that 40 years ago, more than a third of congressional districts, for example, split ticket, voted for a different party for president versus the member of Congress that they sent to D.C. Nowadays, that number is less than 8%, and it's falling. I wonder if it's a realistic goal today to try to strip away national politics from local government. Is that still feasible with the way that our politics have moved?
Yeah, that's a tough question. Clearly, with congressional races and maybe with state legislative races, there are national forces of partisanship that are really driving what's going on. Roe versus Wade being overturned is going to affect a lot of state legislative races and how people look at that through a partisan lens. I think at the local level, you still have things that are maybe more insulated from national politics, but it could really come down to not just are you having higher turnout electorates, but are you combining that with safe districts for, you know, one party or the other party, even if they're nonpartisan elections. And, you know, that might drive candidates to having to really sort of cater to the party interests in their local area. But I think it is somewhat different than I think the nationalization that you'd see in state legislative races and congressional races.
You know, we do see generally with greater turnout a more left-leaning electorate, but partisanship is just one measure of the way that switching to an even year could change things. I mean, electorates in even years also get younger, they get more diverse, they more closely mirror the actual populations that these political offices end up serving. How does switching things to the even year, growing the electorate, getting a more diverse electorate, impact the issues that politicians have to focus on in order to win votes?
Yeah, and again, that might differ at the state level, national level, but or at the local level. But yeah, if you have a younger, less affluent electorate participating in local elections, you know, you'd assume that would open up space for issues that might not be renters' concerns. You know, maybe those are not folks that are being heard as much in a low turnout electorate. Minimum wage concerns that pop up in some localities. Those might be things that when you have a younger, less affluent electorate, those issues might be forced more at the local level.
You're not just a professor of political science, you're also a politician. You're a county council member in Whatcom County. What's going on with elections in Whatcom County? Can you see a similar shift potentially happening there?
I don't know. We I was also on the Charter Review Commission when we last met, and this issue didn't really come up. I would assume it's something that Democrats would be more interested in than Republicans, but it's not something that's been, I haven't heard people advocating for the change here. We get fairly robust turnout in our off-year elections, but it still doesn't compare to what you get in an even-numbered year.
Do you think it's fair when Republicans looking at this say this type of a shift, so what King County is proposing and voters will have to decide on in the fall, moving things to the even year, that's really just Democrats making a partisan power grab. They're trying to undermine the power of Republicans to win anything at the ballot box.
If increasing the electorate and having a more diverse electorate is to one party's advantage, you can look at that a couple of ways. I think one of the criticisms that does resonate is how many people are actually going to be informed enough or paying enough attention to nonpartisan races. I mean, the folks that come out to vote in a presidential or gubernatorial election, are they going to work their way down the ballot and then get to these races that are in a lot of places nonpartisan and know what to do? So I as much as, you know, this would probably advantage Democrats and turnout goes up, we also have to think about there's going to be a lot of people who probably won't work their way down to the ballot and won't be able to process decisions in those nonpartisan races. Still, you know, turnout will go up, but it won't be as much as you're going to see people voting at the top of the ticket.
Are there any other changes or proposed changes to the voting process that you're looking at, Professor Donovan, coming down the line? I mean, Washington, as we've discussed earlier, we've moved to all-male elections earlier than most states. Same-day registration is a reality in Washington. Ranked choice voting is something that some local municipalities have been talking about. Anything you're watching for in terms of what's coming for elections in our area?
Yeah, and that ranked choice voting is actually something I have an academic interest in as well. It's something I do some research on. I think we'll see more of that. It was Alaska's adopted it recently. The state of Maine's been using it. So it's not just local level where we're seeing that. And that, I actually do think, has some promise to potentially reduce polarization. It might give candidates more incentives to try to make positive appeals to their rivals because they want to get people's second preferences and third preferences when they're voting and not be as alienating or as negative. But yeah, of all the things that are sort of out there, that's going to be on up for a vote in Portland. There's a charter amendment to consider ranked choice voting in Oregon. So I think we'll be seeing more of that.
Todd Donovan is a professor of political science at Western Washington University and a member of the Whatcom County Council. Thank you very much for stopping by and for sharing your expertise.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Now, that decision whether to change elections to even-numbered years is in King County Voters Court in the fall.